You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
And so we looked at, the last sermon was, in when we're weak, he makes us strong. How many know that? When there's pressure on, when you start to feel the pressure, if you imagine as the pressure is squeezing you and you feel, this is too much, this is too hard for me, the Bible says it's at that point where grace kicks in and you get stronger. And the way I think about it, if you've ever seen, I don't know what they're called, but they're like these light sticks. And when you break them, they light up. And that's like the Christian, is that the devil wants to destroy us, and he tries to break us, but we only get brighter. Because that's who we are. Because when you've got grace inside of you, that's what you've got. And so, listen, you're only going to get brighter. Look at someone and say, it's only going to get brighter. That's right. Amen. The future's bright because it's Jesus. Then we the first week, what we talked about is when we was without strength, Christ died for us. So I gave the analogy, it's like pull-ups. When you didn't have enough strength to pull yourself up to be a good Christian, when you didn't have enough strength to save yourself, Christ already came and rescued you. And so what we were saying is this, is that now that you are saved, you may still feel a bit weak, but God is still on your side. And what and the best way that I, as I was studying this, what it really revealed to me is there's more grace in salvation than before salvation. Now, if there's enough grace to save you when you was wicked and raggedy and nasty. Now, some of you here, you look good today. But listen, one time you were nasty. You was nasty, man. Hopefully you're not nasty anymore. But God saved you even when you was nasty. Now that you're trying to live for him, and maybe you're struggling and it's hard, now he's going to throw you away. No, there's more grace in salvation than before salvation. We believe God can save anybody. They could have done anything. They can come here and receive salvation. But then when it's a Christian and they go through some things, no, that's it now. It's over for you. That's not Bible. I want to speak about strength today. And this text kind of leapt out of me. Off the page because many of us we like our strengths. You know when you want to take a picture of somebody, I've said this before, but they kind of give you their best side. I know some of you ladies, you know this. If as soon as we take a picture, you're like, "That's my best side." No, hold up. Yeah, it's that side. And so you know, and maybe it depends on what hairdo you've got. And some of you have mastered it, you know, with your. Your Instagram, your profiles, you've got that. I don't know what it is. It's like an app, isn't it? That these sparkly things go around your head. Everybody, I'm like, wow, who's that, man, calling me? It's like, hey, you know, who's that WhatsApping me? Oh, it's her. Wow. Okay. Praise God. Hey, listen, man. Pastor, what's it? I was supposed to fake it till you make it, so... The reality is this, is that if you want your quality of life to improve, which I believe we all do, you need to strengthen your weaknesses, not just your strengths. You need to focus on some of your weaknesses. If you could strengthen some of your weaknesses, do you know your life could improve like so many percentages? You see, thing is this, if you're really fast and you know you've worked on your speed, usually... You're not going to get like 100 times faster. You're not going to get 50. You're not going to double your speed again. But there might be another skill set that you're really weak in that if you could produce strength in that other skill set, you would actually become 100% better at what you're doing. And so many times is that the quality of life is not us focusing so much on our strengths, but it's for us to address our weaknesses. I believe that God has strength for our weaknesses. And so I want to look at this text. Acts 3 verse 1. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Say hour of prayer. The ninth hour, which really would be like 3 o'clock. So we're a Bible church. Amen. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, charities, begging, from those who entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And he fixed his eyes on him, and with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leapt up, stood, and walked, entering the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. I pray, Heavenly Father, you would move supernaturally in this service. Lord, we need your strength. We need grace. Father, you know who's weak here. Father, but the reality is we have all got weaknesses. There are areas of our life, maybe public, maybe secret. But you know, because all things are revealed before you. Everything is naked before you. And I pray right now, Father, that you would help us in those areas. Help us in those areas individually. Help us in those areas in our family, in our marriages. Help us in those areas corporately as a church where we are weak. I pray this, believing that you have heard our prayer. Most of all, be glorified, Jesus. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, and the real church said, hallelujah. I want to preach a sermon on transmitted strength. Transmitted strength. This man receives strength to his weakness. He's a man, the Bible says that he's lamed. If you read on, you find out he was actually lame for 40 years. So about 40 years. And so here is this man, he's lame, he can't walk, he has an inability. He's been crippled. He was born that way. This is from his birth. This is who he is. He's there. And so here the Bible says is that he receives strength in the very place where he is weak. And this is what changes his life. In the very place, this is what we want today. We want God to strengthen us in the areas where we are weak. Maybe your prayer life is weak. Maybe your Bible reading is weak. Maybe your church attendance is weak. Maybe you're weak when it comes to holding your temper. Some of us, we may be weak with holding our words, our mouth. We say things we shouldn't say. I don't know what your area is. I know you have them. I have them. God wants to strengthen those areas. But this is where the point I want to get to is that he receives strength from God. How many know it was God who done the miracle? God done the miracle. But he receives strength from God through man. This is transmitted strength. This is not just, he was just sitting there and he said, God, would you help me? And all of a sudden, whoa, he got up. This wasn't, he was just sitting there and he said, oh, Father, you know, I need to go into the temple. And an angel came down and batted his wings and it blew on him and he got up. No, nothing like that happened. There wasn't, it's a divine miracle, but it's not a divine intervention. He met with two common men like me and you. He met with two men. It was God who did the miracle through men. God strengthens people through people. God strengthens people through people. Listen, if you miss this, you've missed it. If you miss this, you're missing out. There are many people, they think that God, yeah, only God can help me. Yeah, only God can help you. But God helps people through people. God ain't going to just help you. And it's like, well, I was praying, I've been praying. You know, the amazing thing about this text is that when you read on, that Paul and John, they get arrested for all of this and they talk about it. And what comes out is that this man has been doing this for 40 years. That means that Jesus would have seen this man. But Jesus never healed him. This man would always be at the temple. He's been doing it for 40 years. This is in Acts 3. Jesus is just not long died and resurrected and all of that has gone on. This is not 100 years later. This is just a little while after. So Jesus would have seen this man. This man would have seen Jesus, but he didn't get his healing like that. Because Jesus is showing us, listen, my disciples are going to meet you and I'm going to do some transmitted strength. We know it was still Jesus. See, Jesus is God. That means he can choose to strengthen you the way he wants to strengthen you. See, some people, we want Jesus to help us in the color and flavor we want him to help us. God says, no, I'm God. I'll help you the way I want to help you. Let me give you some scriptures here. Romans 1 verse 11. For I long to see you. This is Paul speaking to the Roman church. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Paul says, listen, if I come to the church in Rome, when I come there, I'm going to give you some spiritual gifts. That means if Paul didn't go there, they would be giftless. Wow. So really, God really uses men to do things. We're not saying we worship and we bow down to men and all of those things, but God uses people. He goes on in that scripture, so that I may establish you. That word establish is the same word strengthen that we see in the book of Acts, where it says he strengthened, he received strength. Establish strength. Paul says, if I go to the church, I will strengthen you. This is the whole purpose. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 2. And he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to establish, same word again, to strengthen you and encourage you concerning the faith. I challenge you to do your own study. You will find out so many times the Bible speaks about Christians, human beings, people being strengthened by other people by God's power, but through people. What this means is that if you're a loner, you're going to be weak. If you're one of these people that you're so spiritual, it's just me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. It's me and the Lord. And whenever you talk, you say, Lord, and the Lord is the Lord, the Lord. Jesus. The problem is, you're not receiving any strength. Because God strengthens through others. See, I want to tell you today that the right people in your life can change your life forever. Just like the wrong people. How many of the wrong people can change your life forever? Yeah, some sisters went, I know, brother. Listen, the right people can change your life forever. Let me give you a little bit. I'm going to go into this, but let me just throw this out there. The right people give you what you need, not what you want. The right people in your life, remember what we said? I said the right people can change your life. They can strengthen you that you go on and your life is transformed. And you're like, yeah, that's what I need, the right people in my life. But the right people give you what you need, not what you want. Look at what he said here. So he gave them his attention. So he's looking at them, expecting to receive something, meaning he's saying, hey, listen, guys, have you got a pound, 10 pound, begging? This is what he's doing. And so this is his livelihood. This is how he gets by. He's asking them for help. He's asking them for charity. He's begging them for something. And he expected to receive something. And then Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have. The thing he was asking for, they said, we ain't got it to give you. We're not going to give you what you're asking for. We don't have it. But what you didn't ask for is what we're going to give you. How many know he needed strength more than he needed money? The right people give you what you need, not what you're asking for. This is why many of us, we don't want the right people in our life. We don't. Let's be honest. We don't want the right people in our life. We don't want people that are going to transmit strength in our life. Because we want people that give us what we want, not what we need. This is many people here. There are young people here. When I say young, you know, you're in school. You want people in your life that give you what you want. This is why when your mom and dad give you what you want, oh, they're my best friends. They don't give you what you want. I hate you. When I leave, I'm going to run away.
Go on, run away.
Okay, don't run away, but she'll be manipulating people, man. If you hear you're young, starting your life, 18, 19, 20, 21, I know everything. No one can tell you nothing. That's why you're weak. That's why you're weak. The reality is, when I was 22, I got saved. I was speaking about this yesterday. I thought I was a big man. 22, I thought, listen, I'm a big man. Nobody don't tell me what to do. That's how I thought. I was 22. I look back now, I was like, you child. I'm not condescending. I'm not dissing anybody. In your own right, you're a human being of your own value. But I realize now, at 43, I know a lot more now than I did then. And things just ain't the same as they are now. And what I realize is that I need people in my life that tell me and give me what I need more than what I want. I've learned that I can easily, listen, you can surround yourself with sycophants. Meaning people that, oh yeah, look what you got, look what you, and they tell you everything you want them to tell you. But they won't tell you what you need to hear. Let's keep it real. I like to be told what I want to hear. But I also realize it's not good for you, Courtney. It's not good for you. I've been alive long enough. Listen, if you're my age and you ain't figured it out by now, listen, you better figure it out quick, because you ain't got long to figure it out. You don't want to take another 20 years trying to figure that one out. Figure this one out and say, listen, I need to surround myself. Listen, tell me what I need. We don't want the right people in our life sometimes because of this very thing. Let me speak about this. Is that the problem is this, is that if you don't have the right people in your life, you're going to be living life at the gate. The Bible says that when they find this guy, he's at the gate. It's kind of ironic. It's called the gate beautiful. This is the temple gate. It's called beautiful, but here is this man in an ugly situation. And so being at the gate is where people are who don't want the right people in their life. To live at the gate, you need two types of people from the text. Think about it now. You need people that will carry you there. I mean, no, he was carried there. He couldn't get himself there. So he has people in his life who carry him there. So you might be here and you're like, yeah, I'm not a loner. I've got people in my life. I've got friends. I've got people. Yeah, but people that live at the gate, people that are not being strengthened, they have people that carry them around. Not only people that carry them around, you have people in your life that will keep you at the gate. So these are people that would give you, okay, they're sustaining life at the gate. The only reason he would go there is because he knew people that have confessed some type of religiousness are usually more likely to give. He's picked the right place. This is where he's going to live. I was reading an article just on the internet about a guy in India who begs. He's a professional beggar. But when they looked into him, they went into something. They were trying to move him, and they found out who he was and the police and something like that because he was begging so much. They found out he owned two houses. This guy, I worked it out. They had a certain exchange rate. So basically, the guy in English money, he's got property nearly worth $200,000. He's doing better than me. He's begging all day. That's his livelihood, man. And he knows the right spot. This guy knows the right spot. I'm going to stay right by the temple. People are coming in. The hour of prayer. He's right at the right. He's at the right place at the right time. Alms. And so people are giving him money. So you've got these two type of people in his life. People that carry you. People that keep you. People that carry you, they're going to do everything for you. Carry you everywhere. People that keep you is that they sponsor your irresponsibility. People that keep you there are people that don't challenge you. When you're in your stupidness, they're like, yeah. This is like having say you're a woman in this place and you got one of your girlfriends, she's talking to you and you put something on. Listen, you shouldn't be putting that on. That's crazy, man. That ain't for you. That ain't for a Christian. That ain't for an alien. That ain't for nobody. And it's like, oh yeah, you look good, you know. Yeah, you look good. Yeah, you look mad. Someone texts you, oh, this is what I'm thinking to wear at a banquet. They're like, no, you wear it. No, we wouldn't wear it at a hell. Banquet? But she tells you, oh no, you look great.
Someone say sabotage.
She's sabotaging you, man. She's thinning out the herd. People that carry you, people that keep you there. Maybe brothers, you've got guys that will keep you there. It's cool, bro. You don't have to.
Yeah.
And it's constant. It keeps you at the gate. Problem is, you know what the problem is? We've come from families that have done this to us. I grew up in a single parent home. So when I speak about being a single parent, I understand what it is. You don't understand. Listen, I understand what it is. But sometimes there are men, you come from a single parent home and your mum has carried you. She's carried you, man. Carried you. And so the problem is the people come from families that have done this to them and they've kept them weak at the gate. They live at the gate. We have people that think keep there. They have a mentality of someone should give me more. It's they have a zero-sum mentality. This is a zero-sum mentality. It's like a football game. For me to win, you have to lose. How many know that's a zero-sum game? For me to win, you have to lose, or vice versa. We can't both win the match. Life is not a zero-sum game. That means if somebody makes a lot of money, it doesn't mean there's less money for you. You can be happy for them. Hey, praise God, mine's coming. That means if somebody starts dating, it don't mean, who's she dating, why's she dating? No, listen. It's not a zero-sum game in life. And so the problem is we've come into the church with these mentalities. We've been carried. We've been kept at the gate for so long. And then this is where the real problems happen, is that now you want to go into a relationship and that person to carry you. You want straight from your mom's arms. You popped out. Pop. Mom carried me. 10, 18, 28. Pass you off to your wife. Okay, I'll carry you now. Why are you not carrying me like my mom carried me? My mom carried me better than this. I want to go back to my mom's house. Go back to your mom's house. Run. Problem is we've been carried. Let me tell you what the real problem is living at the gate. Remember, we're talking about at the gate. You've got people in your life, but they keep you at the gate. See, the gate speaks of you're very close, but you're not in. He's at the gate of the temple. The temple is the house of God. The temple is where you go in and spend time with God. He's at the gate. This gate is beautiful. And so we could be, look how beautiful it is. But you're not in. You're close, but you're not in. That's living at the gate, where you're at this place where you're so close, but you're not in. Let me give you some instances of being close, but not in. This is when you come to church, but you are not yet spiritually minded. You're so close. Listen, as a pastor, I hate it when the church is empty. I hate seeing empty chairs. Maybe it's my ego, I don't know. But, I like the church to be full. So thank God that you're here. But can I say for you? Because I do care for you. I don't just want you here. I want you to have spirit, to be spiritually minded. To not just be close, but to go in. At the gate, this is where you call yourself a Christian, but you're not yet a disciple of Jesus. You call yourself a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian now. But how many know Jesus wants us to be more than Christian? He wants us to be disciples. Are you a disciple? Look at someone say, you a disciple. You know what, that was just no conviction, man. Maybe that was just like, I don't want to say, are you? Maybe because you asked me. Are you a disciple? Jesus always talks about disciples. You know, Jesus never even mentioned the word Christian. The word Christian is what others called us. When you read in the book of Acts, that's what they called. Oh, those Christians. But Jesus never called us Christians. He never said, go into all the world and make Christians. He said, make disciples. That's what he wants. He wants disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? A disciple is someone who's disciplined follower of Jesus. You're a disciple. You have discipline. You are committed to Jesus. I'm not just on the outskirts. How many of you can have associates and you can have friends? You can have associates and you can have friends. Jesus is not looking for associates. He's looking for friendship. When you're close to the gate. Living at the gate is when you're married, but you're not experiencing God's love in the relationship. You're close, but you're not in. Ministry, but you're not becoming more like Jesus and producing that in others. You're close, but you're not in. See, life at the gate is focused at the temple, not the temple. Can I tell you, church is not about fixing temple problems. Many times people come to church and their focus for church is about fixing temple problems. What is the, if we was to ask you today, what are the number one issues in your life that you really, I need God to move in this area? And then think, when you get to heaven, will those things matter? What is the number one problem right now? If it's number one problem right now, I need a relationship. And my relationship is a daily relationship. I need a man. I need a man. I need a woman. No, I need a woman. How many know in heaven we're not going to be thinking about that? I'm not saying it's bad. My wife is a man. I have a woman. It's not bad. We're not saying these are bad things. What we're saying is that those are temple fixes, meaning for this life. Think about this guy. Here was this guy begging. And he says, could you give me some money? He's been there every day for 40 years. So that means it's not like one day he's expecting someone to come drop that in the plate, drop that in his basket, and he looks, wow, it's £1 million. My life has changed. I don't have to be here anymore. What he's living for is day to day. Could you just give me enough to get by today? What he's looking for is survival, not revival. That's how many people, they're in church. What they're thinking about are the things for now. Can I just get by now? Can you give me something? Can you give me a temple fix, Pastor? I'll go to the church. What does this church offer me? Temple. What temple fixes does this church offer me? Then I'll come to this church because it's going to offer me temporal fixes. Could we be looking for the church to carry us and keep us rather than for the church to strengthen us? You know the job of the church is to strengthen you, not to carry you. The job of the church is to strengthen you, not to leave you at the gate. Look what it says in the Bible. How do we know what ministry is all about? How many know we can't have this man dictating to us what it's all about? We need to understand what the Bible says. Ephesians 4 verse 11, it says this. And he himself gave some to be apostles. So this is the ministry that God gives. Some are apostles. Maybe you're an apostle here, I don't know. Some are prophets. Maybe you're a prophet or prophetess. Some are evangelists. Some are pastors. You know, we have one pastor here. Teachers. What are these things for? Did he say to carry and to keep? No. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. See, I don't just want a church that can get me to the gate. I want a church that will strengthen my walk that I can walk in myself. I don't want a church that just will support, just basically keep me going just from one service to the next service. I want a ministry that is going to help me and strengthen me to enter in. For you to be strengthened, you need a church, but you also need friendships. You need people around you
that can strengthen you. And I want to really home in on this. This is, I was thinking how to really end this message. There's no fireworks, but I want to give you something very plain, very simple for you to understand. What do I need? First thing you need to do is you need to pray for the right people in your life. You need to say, God, surround me with the right people. I don't need to be surrounded with bad examples. I don't need to be surrounded with negative thinking. Do not be surrounded with people that constantly gossip and tell you things about other people, because they're talking about you to those other people as well. Don't do it. What we need to do is become a church that we judge gossip. We judge it viciously. So, who did you want to talk about? Let's go there now. Let's go there now. She's just there. No. She's just there. Come. Hey. Come. No. I'm okay. Yeah, okay. Be okay then. The right people are Jesus people. These disciples were Jesus people. They speak about Jesus. The Bible says that they were going to the temple on the hour of prayer. These are people that have their own personal relationship with Jesus. You need to surround yourself with people that are not just fashionable. You know, people just want to be fashionable. My friends are fashionable. Fashion. Listen, I'm not going to get up here like, fashion is of the devil. You know, some people are like, my clothes were invented in 1545. So that makes you more spiritual. It doesn't make you more spiritual. It makes you look weird. I don't know what's going on right now. Come on, we all know what's going on right now. You know, it doesn't make us more spiritual because we don't know what's going on. How many know that? No one here is dressing like Jesus. So you do follow fashion. Yeah? Because no one ain't in here like Jesus. Just bowling around with a sheet on. And sandals. So we do, you know, we do follow fashion. But the point I'm making is that some people, are your friends all fashionable or are they spiritual? Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with being fashionable, not at the expense of being spiritual. I'd rather, if you're not fashionable, I don't care if you're spiritual. If you're fashionable and spiritual, praise God. You got a Gucci belt in the Bible, praise God. I'm not hating. If that's how you want to be, no problem. But let me tell you this now. Listen, we've got a banquet coming up. If that's how you want to... Yeah. You've arrived. Praise God. But listen, I'll be coming with my Primark. I'm feeling good. My T-shirt. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with those things. But I want to tell you, you better surround yourself with some spiritual people. You better surround yourself with people that speak about Jesus. You know, people always speak about the world. We need people that speak about Jesus. They speak about the things of Jesus. I'm not saying that we, you know, I like that car. Don't talk about the cars. There's Jesus. It's just Jesus here. Hey, did you see the boxing match? Hey, don't talk about boxing. It's Sunday. It's Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. But if you only talk about those things, you only talk about who's doing what. People, have you ever seen people that talk about their old life? And they, you know, we all talk about our old life sometimes. From time to time, I'll be hanging with some guys and we'll talk about, I'll say, oh yeah, when I was a sinner, I remember going there, fell flat on my face. Well, I was so stupid. Thank God I got saved. But some people, when they talk about their old life, it's like, yeah, I was the man. I was OG. I was running this whole area. Everybody knew me. Girls, listen, you don't know girls. Bro, man, you look like you're enjoying it. Calm down. Rebuke yourself. Cast myself out of myself. We want Jesus. If you're going to surround me, talk about Jesus. The Bible says that these men were going in. You need some people that are going in for Jesus. They're going in. That brother's going in. That sister's going in. Yeah, that's the people you need to surround yourself with. So many times we want, like I said in the beginning, we want the color and flavor that we like. This ain't about what color and flavor you like. God likes all colors and flavors. God ain't, you know, going in M&M's picking out brown ones. God likes them all. The Bible says that they were going somewhere. You need to surround yourself with people that are spiritually going somewhere. The Bible says that they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. The people you surround yourself, do they have a prayer life? Listen, if you're new here, you need to find someone that will invite you to the prayer meeting on a Monday. You know, the prayer meeting is the engine of the church. Right now, the engine's running on about 25 cylinders. 200 people church, 25 cylinders. 200 people church, 25 people come. I heard this guy saying, he said, do you know how popular the pastor is by who turns up on a Sunday? He said, do you know how popular the church is by who comes on a Wednesday? He said, but if you want to know how popular Jesus is, look who turns up at the prayer meeting. You need to find people that are going somewhere that say, listen, you need to be, that they can pray and work things through with you. The Bible says that they say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. They pray for him, and then they extend their hand to help him. And this is the balance that you need. People that will pray for you, but also help you. Some people just want to pray. Rise up and walk. And the other people are trying to rise up. Rise up, be a disciple. Rise up. Rise up, be a disciple. Rise. There's no prayer. There has to be prayer and a helping hand. It has to be this balance, this combination of, you know what? Bro, you can do this, man. Bro, you can make it. I don't know if I can make it. You can make it. I don't know if I... Let's pray right now. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God right now. Let's pray right now. We're going to believe God. God's going to get you through this. God's going to help you. God's going to bring you through this. Sometimes you don't want to hear these things. I mean, or sometimes we just want a pity party. We just want a pity party. Listen, we love pity parties. Pity is addictive. Self-pity is addictive. It's like, oh yeah, it's so hard for me, man. No one loves me. It's only me. No one ain't here for me. No one called me. No one. It's addictive. You have pity. Some people love pity parties. You hand out your invitations. Love you. Listen, the only problem with a pity party, Jesus don't come to those. Jesus don't come. The devil will turn up to a pity party. Devil will come, man. Party! He'll come, bring the music, bring the drinks, bring everything. He's like, listen, just send the invitations. I'll bring everything. You send the invitations to Jesus. Jesus takes you back. I don't do those things. What Jesus wants is a prayer meeting, prayer party. This is something you need to have, a prayer party. Why are you having a prayer party? Because things are just not going right for me right now. Come on, my house and let's pray. Let's put on some worship music and sing to the Lord. We don't need to turn the lights on and off. The Bible says, I'm going to close with this simple sermon. This guy... God transmits power through the disciples to this man's life. And this man's life is forever changed. And I could preach another sermon on this but I'm preaching one side of it. The other side of it is we should be those who transmit power. But that's another sermon for another day. But for us, we need to say, God, surround me with people. I want you this week, start to look at your life. Who do I have around me? Spiritually. If you spend all your time with the wrong type of people, you're going to remain at the gate. You're going to be at the gate, you're going to live at the gate and die at the gate. But if I surround myself with spiritual people, if I pray to God, bring the right people, if I will discern who I spend my time with and who I open myself up to, can I tell you, it won't be long where you're going to be receiving strength. Those obstacles that you have, the Bible says that when they found him there, he's lame, he's begging, he's at the gate. When they leave him, the Bible says that he rises up and he's starting to walk. And not only that, it says he's leaping. I'm not gonna start leaping up in there. You know, someone will take a picture of it and then rewind it and put it on Twitter or something. But think about it now, this guy's leaping now. And the Bible says that he's praising God and he enters into the temple. Transformation just on this strength. Listen, some of you here, you might say, you know, I feel so weak. People come up and say, wow, I'm not doing anything wrong, Pastor, but I just feel weak. Can I challenge you? Who's around you? Who's around you? Oh, I've got that person, yeah, that person. Yeah, I know that's your color and that's your flavor. But let's just forget about that right now. Let's look for some spiritual people. Some of the people that helped me the most, they've come and preached on this pulpit. They've preached on this stage. They're not like me. They're not the people I would have hanged out with. You can just see when they come and they minister, it's like, wow, they're different than Pastor. But these are the men that have strengthened me. They've strengthened me. They've spoken to my life. They've helped me. They've given me not what I wanted, but what I needed. And I pray to God, as I'm saved 20 years, been in ministry nearly 10 years, 40-something now, I'm praying God, Lord, if you tarry and I've got more life left in me, give me more of those people around me. That's what I need. I want people around me, the right people around me that transmit strength. That when I come to obstacles and the weak areas of my life, they can speak into that. Say, no, rise up, Courtney. I can rise up, yeah. I'm going in to what God has for me. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.